go. Head On with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. Hey, do you hear that roar? Yeah, it's like there's a real live, honest-to-goodness front porch going on here in the on Radio Row in the Pennsylvania Convention Center. We're right here, not far from the not far at all from the main Broad Street entrance to the Convention Center. Brother Deacon Ace is telling me my levels are a little bit low. If I crank them up very much, you won't hear anything but the crowd here. But we'll do the best we can for the time being. This program is live. It is Friday on the front porch for the 12th day of July 2019. Like I said, we're live from Netroots Nation in Philly. And organizers set up a happy hour for this Friday afternoon, so that's what you hear, is a bunch of people milling around and having beers and cocktails and wine and so forth. And well, we're not, because there's a standing promise at the horn that I will never hot up the mic and do Limbaugh radio, do radio torched. It's just not very fun. Hi, I'm Bob Kincaid. This is the Horn. And we've talked to a lot of interesting people over the last couple of days. You'll hear more of that later. I've got that recorded as a separate file. Well, let me double check here and just make sure. Yeah, Brother Deacon Asa, the gate is engaged, but this is a. I'd be better off with a head worn, but this is a supercardioid dynamic mic, and it can't, in a big boomy room like this, it can't help but pick up some of the noise. If I go down to here where you're not picking, where we're not picking up the noise, you're also not picking up me. So that's the dilemma with which we are faced. If you'd like to participate in Friday on the Front Porch, and I hope you would like to participate, we'll get things going here in fairly short order, because we do have to be out of here by about 8-ish, so there's not a lot of time for chat. Let me see. Let me get to. Of course, and remember, if you want to be part of the Skype group, then jump in. Go to headon.live. And click the Skype link. It'll carry you straight into the group. Makes it real easy to do. If you absolutely cannot manage to work Skype, then we've got the stress line for you. It's here in Philly, too, named after the inimitable, gone but not forgotten Bill, Mr. Stress Miller. I've got that set up and ready to go. 844-843-4676 is the number. 844-THE-HORN, THEHORN. And when I get back home, I'm just going to do a whole bunch of thank yous for our subscribers. I don't know. Maybe I can do it now. Because I like it when every program needs to begin with gratitude. It's kind of like saying grace without a God before a meal. Speaking of meals, there's been a lot of food porn going on. My God, I saw a 30-foot case of nothing but bacon porn. It was enough to bring a grown man like me to tears. No, thanks go out. Let's see. Let's just go over this. Thanks go out to our subscribers. Thanks go out to Paul and to Mark. Thanks to Suman. Thanks to Gary up in New York. Thank you very kind to Sean. Thank you to Tony in Chico, one of our longest-standing subscribers. Thank you to Libby. Thank you to Mary Bill. Thank you to Paul from Parts Unknown. Thank you to Christopher. Thank you to John. Thank you to Daniel and Judy and Don and Edwina. Thank you very kindly for jumping in on that as well. So all those are our subscribers up to the present date. Thank you again very kindly. If you'd like to be a subscriber, you know, we're, one of these days we'd like to have $410 a month subscribers. Run over to headon.live and click the contribute tab. And, you know, Agnes wasn't able to make the trip for a variety of reasons, not least among which is the status of her health. But Chris from Germany flew over and has been hanging out. And she's never seen a Netroots Nation before or anything like that. So it's been a kind of a new and different experience. Let's bring Chris online. Hey, Chris.
Guten Tag, y'all.
Yeah, Guten Tag. So what do you think?
I want to make a $300 challenge.
Oh.
Because we need Bob on the air. We need this community alive. So let's do it.
Okay, well, thank you. Thank you very kindly. Because, yeah, I guess technically we're at $600 in the hole because of travel and, you know, just doing this. Okay, so there's a $300 challenge on the table. Thank you, Chris. Thank you very, very kindly. What do you think of Netroots Nation so far?
Its time has passed.
Really?
We are 16 months before November. I've seen hardly any references whatsoever to political activity. We should be in high gear. We should have workshops on getting out the vote, getting our candidates' message out, organizing. I haven't seen anything of that at all.
I haven't seen any. That's the one thing that surprises me. I haven't seen any campaigning. I haven't seen a flyer, a booth, nothing for any of the presidential candidates. I saw Jeff Merkley earlier today. I saw Eleanor Holmes Norton yesterday. Pramila Jayapal spoke earlier today. Ayanna Pressley was here. And thank heavens they were. Because the candidates, I guess I'm just a little flummoxed.
We need to bend every effort, every will, every means, every tool to defeating Trump and the Republicans for every single office next November. We must focus on that. Failure is not an option.
It becomes more and more obvious that this country can't take four more years of him. There's no way around that. So I agree wholeheartedly with what you say. And thanks to Charlene, a member of the Sorority of Leans, a founding member of the Sorority of Leans, a member of Tracy's Reverse Oreo Society, Queen Tracy's Reverse Oreo Society, got us started, said that. We're 275. Thank you, Charlene, in Rhodes Island. Thank you tremendously. Let's see. Well,
cheese steaks, though, worth it.
Yeah. And thank you to Jude in the Great Northwest. There's Jude. So we're down to 250 to go to get the week closed out. Thank you, Jude, and thank you, Charlene. Hopefully you'll have a lot of company. Let's run over here and let me bring the Skype group on, because like I said, we don't have a lot of we'll have to knock off by 8 this evening, but I wanted us to at least have a week's end conversation. Hey, Sparky.
Hey, Bob.
How's it going?
Oh, I'm sitting in here in the cool. It's oven weather outside. 102.
Ooh, brutal. Humid?
No. Oven weather.
Dry. Hot. Yeah, dry heat. Yes.
You open the sliding door, and it's just a blast of hot air comes in.
It's kind of the reverse of walking by the doors when they're open here at this place. It's like walking through a temperature inversion with the air conditioning being sucked out into the onto Broad Street in Philly. It was really humid here. We had flash flood warnings here last night. Sideways, half-dollar sized rain, and it was, and the previous evening when I got here, it was so muggy here. It was like New Orleans-ish. I mean, hot, and the funny thing is, even when it was raining, it was still sticky. It was the damnedest thing. So I don't know which would be better, Sparky, hot and dry, or no, I think I'll take your hot and dry.
Well, me and Grady are sitting in here. We can't take it. Even the front yard's hot, and I've got trees all over the front yard. It should be cooler out there.
Well, it has been, I had a long drive in. Everything was going great till I got near D.C. I spent about an hour and a half doing 5 miles an hour on 695 and I-95 north out of general Baltimore area. But this is, it's, with the exception of yesterday, the rain late yesterday, it's been wonderful. I got to go walk about but I got here with plenty of daylight in the sky on Wednesday. Got to go walk about. First thing I did was visit Ben Franklin's grave. His grave is literally right around the corner from my hotel. My hotel sits on the original site of the first building of the University of Pennsylvania, which is really, really cool. Independence Hall, the Constitution Center, the Museum of the American Revolution is all just around the corner. And the biggest pity of it all is there's no chance of getting to see it all, but it certainly makes you want to come back. You ever been to Philly, Sparky?
No, just New York City.
Well, let's move around the group a little bit. I see Steve from Georgia stands in the room. He's had a booger of a week, I hear.
I wanted to say I saw you do a walkthrough on Sam Cedar's video.
Oh yeah, Sam and I are neighbors, and I've been photo bombing a bunch of people because Rick Smith and I were sharing a table here. We were right next to Sam, and our little alley runs down next to him, and then we have to go back behind. So I'm not surprised if I did.
Well, you went left to right through his camera shot. He was interviewing Adam Green.
Okay. That was probably going behind him. I think I photobombed a Young Turk, too. Didn't mean to, but they were shooting in my direction, and they just had me in the back
of
the shot.
You can't help it there.
No.
The way people walking around.
I've had some interesting conversations. It's nice to see some. I always see Sam, and there's a few others that are always here on Radio Row. It was great hanging out with Rick Smith. He's always fun to be around.
You got to give Steve 5 minutes, he said. He just got out of the shower. Huh?
Oh, okay, that's fine. Billable Rick, you want to jump in?
Sure, Bob. So it sounds like you've had a very productive week in Philly.
And some magnificent food porn.
Good, yeah. I enjoyed your show with Rick last night. I didn't know that there was even a show. I found out about it when I was talking to Joe or texting with Joe in Cleveland. I was actually listening to your show involving the 50th anniversary of MLK's assassination, because that was one of the shows that you did that I missed way, way back. So I'm actually I only have two more shows to listen to, and I'm all caught up since when I started listening to your show. So I heard every show.
Now you can go back and start working your way forward from 2004.
yeah. Right. I'll start doing this day in horn history, right?
The archives don't go back that far anymore.
Well, oh, no. there's a deep archive that does. You just have to know how to get there.
It's on the dark web, right, Bob?
No, it's on the deep web.
Yeah,
I know. I am, after all, so pale I burn under the refrigerator bulb, so I can't be dark anything.
Yeah so I have some sad news to report, unfortunately. Star's father, who's 91 years old, had a massive cerebral hemorrhage on Friday evening. And yeah, he's been on a breathing machine, like a ventilator, since then, more or less. Or they put him on a ventilator a couple of days after. And I think Star finally said goodbye to him last night. So I don't know if he's still alive or not, but I haven't talked to her yet today, but I'll find out later. So he was quite the guy. He had a he was a Cajun. Let's see here. Well, it's Marceau, Preston Marceau, and he had a bar in Louisiana with his Star and her sisters would help out, and kind of a nightclub and a bar, and they'd have like performers there, like blues acts and stuff like that, and they had this one woman who actually has her own. She has songs like on the YouTube and so forth, an old time, African American blues singer. I can't remember her name. She performed there. And, he had a tough life. He was married. Preston was married for about maybe 30 years. His wife couldn't figure out what the hell she wanted to do. So they'd move, from California to Arizona to Louisiana to who knows where, And that marriage didn't last. And he came back to California shortly, about a year after the death of his youngest son. Died in a car wreck, unfortunately. He was trying to be a good Samaritan and, I forget the exact story, but he died at age 18. And so he was broken up over that and ended up moving back to California from Louisiana some years back, like 30 some years back. Showed up at Star's door with Star's sister, and they lived with Star for a while and until they could get back on their own feet. And so he was quite the guy. He managed restaurants in California after he had his nightclub. He folded that up because he was just too depressed to do anything. Losing his son like that.
So sorry to hear that, Rick. Please give Star our condolences from Karen and I.
Yeah.
Oh, and from the whole community, please.
Yeah. That's tough, man. That's tough. That cuts deep.
Yeah, and there was some disagreement among the siblings, among the children, about what to do, because for, like, the first couple of days, they just had him on, like, a regular oxygen mask, rather than a whole ventilator, there were no tubes down his throat, at least, so it wasn't like that. So it was just like a regular CPAP machine they had him on at the end. And, the sister, Star's younger sister, not youngest sister, but younger sister, had power of attorney. And she's getting into some trouble, I'm afraid, because since the beginning of the year, the nursing home where he was staying at hasn't been paid. And she's been power of attorney for maybe 7 months or so.
Fiduciary or power of attorney? There's a big difference.
She's both. I think she's both a representative payee as to the SS benefits.
Yep.
And she's a power of attorney for healthcare matters. Okay.
Whoa, man. And they're going to bake her, man.
And the nursing home apparently hasn't been getting his. Normally the nursing home, like if you don't have really a lot of assets and you're on like. Public assistance like Medi-Cal, which he was.
You become a ward of the state.
Yeah, basically your entire SS check, except for $50, goes to the nursing facility.
Right.
The $50 is to allow you to buy, like, stuff at the commissary, personal hygiene items, snacks, stuff like that, okay? And somehow this nursing home hasn't been getting paid all year, ever since Star's younger sister assumed responsibility for, you know, as the representative payee and a power of attorney. So she's, you know, she's in some trouble, and she took certain steps that the other family members didn't agree with about keeping, you know, Preston, like putting him on a ventilator and so forth. But his
it's a stressful situation for everyone, you know.
It's really stressful. I mean, you know, the problem is, you know, his brain didn't swell like the emergency room doctor said it would. But the basically on Friday night, last Friday, we went in there and, you know, fortunately Star's son happened to be at the house and his girlfriend, they're hardly ever around. But for some reason, they just happened to be there on this Friday night. So we all went to the hospital together when we got word that, you know, that, look, you need to go see him, you know. And so her son already said his goodbyes back then. But
I got one of those calls. It's tough, man.
It's bad. It's bad. Yeah, the doctor, the emergency room doctor said, well, for a man who's 91, I wouldn't touch this with a, I don't know of any surgeon that would touch this with a 30-foot pole. And he basically said, look, all you can do is make him comfortable and try to, you know, minimize his suffering and so forth. And unfortunately, I don't think he was suffering a lot because I think he was, you know, he was medicated. He had morphine and, you know, I think that kind of an injury, I don't know if it's necessarily that painful because your brain sort of has a way of numbing itself, I think, because there's no nerves in there really, right? I mean, they're all
ventilated in a catatonic state. Correct.
Yeah, I mean, he could understand. I think he could squeeze our hands. He could kind of tell that we were there, and he would try to open his eyes and kind of open them a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So I think he could probably hear us because I know hearing is the last to go. And I mean, Star was convinced after like 4 or 5 days. It's like, look, there's no point in keeping him in the state. And her sister kind of wanted to keep doing it. The emergency room doctor said, look, you know, this is a massive event. His brain's going to swell.
Was it an aneurysm, Rick?
I think it was an aneurysm, yeah, because he showed us an MRI of the brain, and you could see that an entire, like, probably the size of a good size, like, oval-shaped water balloon of blood, I mean, in terms of that kind of area on one side of the brain, it was full of blood. You know, you can kind of see it. And, you know, his brain, he kind of stabilized for a while. Mm-hmm. You know, his brain didn't swell up like the doctor said it would. And, you know, the emergency room doctor said, look, I don't know if a surgeon would touch this with a 30-foot pole.
His brain kind of stabilized.
91. Huh?
Swell up like the doctor said it would.
Yeah, I don't know where that's coming from.
Oh, that's weird. Yeah. Oh, wait, that's probably me. Sure. Hold on.
Not me. I did that one night, and I had a chat on.
I think I have the head on radio still there. I think
that's what I did one night.
Me bad.
Close that out.
Yeah, right. Close that sucker out. So, you know, in the last few days, he's been in, you know, with the ventilator, and his, you know, the swelling hasn't gotten any worse. So we were hoping to maybe find somebody who could do a kind of a surgery to get to extract the blood from the brain. I mean, I don't know if you can do that with like little needles or whatever. I, you know, this is all beyond my, you know,
scope. Yeah, but, sure.
But, you know, if he's otherwise stable and all you have to do is get rid of the blood, you know. But, I mean, Star's sister had this idea that, oh, we just let him sit here and eventually the blood will drain.
Well, it doesn't work like that.
No. It's a closed system. That's the problem. So, you know,
Isn't it odd, though, how that you get a burst where you think they're doing good? Dad sung, he had an aneurysm. He sung the whole Blue Moon in Kentucky with his eyes closed. I don't even know if he knows singing it, and he passed like 3 hours later, so.
Wow, was that your pops?
Yeah. Yeah, he was 59.
Can I share some good news?
Yes, please.
Please, yeah. Sorry about the bummer, guys.
No, man.
Sister Carol Baker just posted a picture on her Facebook page. She's reached the promised land, Nevada.
Oh, I've been following her her journey there. I saw her with one of her cousins, and it's like, nah, they can't possibly be related.
Is she moving?
She's visiting Reno area. She posted a picture of Silver State Relief Marijuana Dispensary.
I saw the man in Reno just to watch him die.
Hey, that's a good song you wrote, Scott.
Yep.
She may be in Virginia City. I don't know. She said they were going to go to Virginia City.
Nice. So, Bob, did you say you're going to the beach on the way home?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm toying with the idea. I'll be getting out of here too late on Sunday to make it home without driving into the middle of the night, so I'll probably stop somewhere. Might try to at least see the ocean or something like that. But I thought of you because I thought of you and I thought of our buddy Reverbo because you've got a Baltimore history and mm-hmm. Reverbo's over that way too. I was toddling along on I-70, no problem. Everything was golden, making great time.
Oh yeah.
And then I hit 6. And okay, so here's the part that flummoxed me.
And they call it the Beltway.
Over on Baltimore, it's the Inner Loop.
They used to call it the Beltway, 695.
Yeah.
Now there may be two loops now. I haven't been there in a while.
Yeah, this was called the Inner Loop, according to the signage. Yeah. But mm-hmm. what I found interesting is that my GPS on my phone, whatever, tells me, okay, take 695 to 695 north to 95 north. And sure. Then right at the end it says, no, take 695 south to 95 south. And I'm thinking, wait a minute, I'm still going to Philadelphia. I guess they were just going to let me loop all the way around the other direction because the traffic was moving better, but I didn't want to, I didn't trust it, so I stayed on 695 north and 95 to 95 north, and I think every resident of the city of the state of Maryland was out there on the highway with me, going precisely nowhere at all.
I never spent a lot of time on the Baltimore Beltway, but God, D.C.'s Beltway, even when I lived there, was a nightmare. And it's probably only gotten worse. There's no beginning or end to rush hour, from what I've been told.
No, not at all.
Parkway, yeah. It's just, at 3 in the morning, it can be stacked up. You're right.
So, Bob, your plan was to go to the Maryland shore or the Jersey shore?
Maryland. I can't go. I'll just be in worse trouble if I go further north. So,
Right. Yeah, I guess it is further north. Yeah.
And there's going to be a little bit of a family history reconnoiter, too, because I'm going to stop in Elkton, Maryland, because that used to be the home of the Triumph Explosives Factory. Uh-huh. And back during World War II, my mother and my aunt worked there.
Oh.
And so
are you ultimate? I'm sorry.
No, I was just going to say. So I'd like to see if there's any remainder, a historic marker, or anything like that.
Nice. Are you going to be going
to Ocean City, Maryland?
Yeah, you're going to hit the boardwalk. And I was about to ask the same thing.
I don't know how far of a trip it is, but I thought I might just go, right down the eastern side of Maryland on like a little 2-lane highway or something.
Because if you're going to Ocean City, drive another 10 minutes across the Delaware line to a place called Fenwick, Delaware, Fenwick Beach, or Fenwick Island, I forget which. And I'm pretty sure it's still there. I think it was called the Fenwick Crab House. Uh-huh. It's got really amazing cream of crab soup, if you like that kind of thing.
Oh, yeah.
And if you're on the boardwalk, you have to get some Thrasher French fries. But don't mention the word ketchup. They'll throw you out of there.
Yeah.
Fortunately, I'm not a ketchup on French fries guy. Remember me? Okay. I'm the mayonnaise weirdo. Yeah. I eat them Belgian style.
What is the name?
Nasty.
Malt vinegar is
all. Well, hello to you too, Tracy.
What is the name of that frozen custard place in Ocean City that's been around for years? Oh, God. Oh, it's really great frozen custard, too. Dip your French fries in a cone of custard there, Bob. Come on. Live dangerously.
Okay, now I'll let Tracy say nasty, 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 nasty.
Nasty ass with the goddamn mayonnaise on the French fries.
It's now quit it. Don't knock it till you've tried it.
I won't try it. Look, you guys, I'm at the point I will put mayonnaise on a sandwich. And I will put the mayonnaise in my macaroni salad, but I will. Come on now.
Keep an open mind, Tracy.
And by the way, yesterday I had my official Philly cheesesteak. I did not go to Pat's or Gino's. Everybody, all the locals here say good, 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 good. Yeah, good
aren't
for you.
Tourist traps?
What's that?
Aren't those the places where tourists
those are where the tourists go. But I went to, we're just two blocks away from Reading Terminal Market, and I went in there and had a cheesesteak at a place called Spataro's.
Oh, man. There's a place on Pulaski Highway that makes them almost as good. I believe, Scott, I believe you're referring to Core Brothers on the boardwalk.
Yeah, I don't remember. It's been years since I've been there.
But yeah, it dips well, drags the fries in that.
I'm madly in love with Reading Terminal Market. I just want to. I need to be here for a week and just eat everything in there.
Do the Jack Kerouac thing, man.
There's an Amish. There's all kinds of Amish places in there, including the Big Wall O' Bacon, which just.
A hoagie the size of your.
Oh
bacon.
Yeah, it's just a case stacked. With all kinds of different bacon, and it's about 40 feet long.
I can see you climbing up the side of that thing.
$200 samples, Bob.
But there's another place that has freshly made pickles, and I got to bring some pickles home. No doubt about it. Oh, just beautiful pickles.
I did have bacon the other day because I made shrimp and grits. And I refuse to use turkey bacon because they talk about something being an abomination. I just think turkey bacon is just
well
stupid.
even the Amish had some of the they had chicken bacon they had turkey bacon. I call it Obama bacon, abomination
Obama
bacon.
Yeah, it's just I can't. Like yesterday, I made I did Cuban black beans and rice, and it's from Weight Watchers, and they wanted me to use turkey bacon, and I just said I'm just not going to use bacon. Period. I refuse to use turkey bacon. Oh, speaking of Weight Watchers, guys, I'm down another 3.6 pounds for a total.
Yay!
For a total of 15.2 pounds, I have
well done.
Since I started Weight Watchers nice. Back in June, and it's been amazing, especially last week because I had dinner with a friend of mine. Well, we're still kind of wavering because she ghosted me when I realized that I was a lesbian, and then we haven't seen each other seriously in 7 years. Yeah, that's the story. Uh-huh. But we went out. We had met for happy hour and dinner. I had two cocktails. I had happy hour food. I had chicken piccata and some shrimp dish and this tuna something or another. And I ate kind of crazy last week, and I still managed to lose 3.6 pounds.
Sometimes you gotta treat yourself,
Oh yeah, I'm not gonna. You do. This is the reason why I like Weight Watchers, because I plan. And, because last week was the 4th of July. I still made my macaroni salad. I still have my baked beans. But I knew I was going to go out with my girlfriend, with my friends. So I did a lot of zero-point foods. Fortunately, with the zero-point foods, that includes chicken breasts, turkey breasts, egg, the whole egg, it's not just egg whites anymore. There's a lot of things that I can eat in preparation for, going out. Plus you have, what they call like reserve points that you can use throughout your cushion points. So, the good thing is when you know you're going out and you want to have fun and you want to do things and you want to be social, you can be. I mean, my birthday's coming up on the 21st of this month. I'm going to brunch.
Happy birthday in advance.
Thank you. As a matter of fact, on that day, I'm doing a 5K on that day. And fuck yes, we're going to brunch. And fuck yes, I'm going to have maybe at least two or three mimosas. But I'm going to allow for that because it's my motherfucking birthday. And yes, I'm going to have cake. So it's like I am not gonna live my life deprived. I'm
hot diggity. Damn right gonna be cake.
Yep, there's gonna be cake. There's gonna be cake, there's gonna be mimosas, and there's gonna be life. I'm gonna be 53 years old, you know, and I am not gonna deprive myself. You, Bobby, you know, girl, we love our food. I just got to learn how to eat without making myself eat stupid. That's all. I mean,
the fact that you're adding in exercise is critical to the whole thing.
I really feel that's the main reason why I'm doing so well, because when I was on Weight Watchers before, I did not work out like that and move the way I'm moving. I move every day. Even when I don't feel like moving, I still move. I make sure that I move at least 15 to 30 minutes. I'm like, okay, I'm going to move for 15 minutes. And then before I realize that 15 minutes sometimes turns into 20, and then sometimes turns into 30. And then next thing I know, I've been moving for 45 minutes, and I feel better because it's just getting my happy black ass up out of bed.
Well, that's that's like in my case, been doing a lot of walking. Yeah, you know, come here, do it. And my calves are as sore. Oh, they're not like, you know, you've hurt yourself sore. They're workout sore, and that's a good kind of sore.
It's a good kind of sore. You know what? And the key for me is that reward thing, because I have, you know, an Apple Watch, and so there's three rings on the watch. There's the ring for moving, there's a ring for exercising, and there's a ring for standing. And so every time I stand up, I get a ring. The ring moves further, and every time I move, the ring it gets closer to closing. And every time I exercise, it gets closer to closing, and it becomes a game. And same thing with, and it shows how many steps I've taken. So anybody, like, it's same thing if you have a Fitbit. Like the other day, I had like 8,000 or like 9,000 steps, and I had gotten home, and I happened to look at my the watch, and it said that I had like 9,000 steps, and I had been home, and I'm like, fuck, because, you know, you're supposed to, you know, they recommend that you walk 10,000 steps a day, and I'm like, and I was about to sit down. I had already cooked dinner, took off my shoes. I was about to chill and watch whatever the fuck was going to be on television. And I'm like, God damn it, I'm only 1,000 steps away for having, you know, 10,000 steps. So you know what I did? I put my shoes back on and went out and walked until I got to that. And it was, I think it might have been a half a block and back. And I had my 10,000 steps, because it's like, I wanted those 10,000 steps. I'm like, I only needed 1,000 more steps to get to 10,000 steps. So you know, it's you trick your brain into moving, and it's like the same thing when it's like you have to. It's like I want to reward myself. It's like I'm going, okay, if I do this, I get a gold star, and I feel better. I mean, I went online and looked up what 15 pounds of fat looks like. If you guys get a chance, Google that shit.
No, I'm really not going to. Thanks.
No, don't do
thank that. You. Thank
don't
you for
that.
Taking.
Actually,
thank you for actually, taking one for it. The team. And yeah.
Don't. You know what, Bob? Don't do it. It is nasty. That shit is nasty.
Well, I mean, you know, remember, I do naked radio, so I know what 15 pounds of fat looks like on any given evening.
Well, one time
they just don't know what they're missing here by me not doing it here. Hey, before we go any further, just as we move through the hour, Chris at the beginning of the program put a $300 challenge on the table. Charlene and Jude have knocked out $50 of that, so hopefully that'll move downward
Let me add to that. Since I've lost 15 pounds, $15 I'm going to put a $15 challenge on that as well.
Thank you, ma'am.
So.
And that was Chris.
Hey, Chris. So 15 pounds.
Hey, Tracy.
A $15 challenge for my 15 pound weight loss.
Awesome. Awesome.
One time I Googled 15 pounds of ugly fat, and the search results brought up a picture of Donald Trump's head. So I figured that.
I'm pretty sure his head weighs more than 15 pounds, though.
Well, you know, I knew a lawyer down in southern West Virginia once whose advertising slogan was "Lose 300 pounds of ugly fat, I do divorces."
Yes.
Yeah. since we're in Philly, this makes perfect sense. Lo and behold, I do believe we have Todd on the stress line. Is that you, Todd?
Hey, what's going on, everybody?
What's happening?
Hey, listen, were people exaggerating about the Reading Terminal or not?
Thank you, Todd. This is Chris. It was so right on.
It's right on.
Oh, I want to live there for 2 weeks.
Well, look, that's what people do, man. I'm telling you, like, even when I was at Temple, you know, it's just a few subway stops down, and you hit Reading Terminal, you can have something different to eat for like a month and stuff, you know, and that's just the Reading Terminal.
Right, and I was going to mention, so yesterday was my first cheesesteak. And by the way, after my first cheesesteak, I had a hot dog with cheese rolled in pretzel with Amish sweet hot mustard for dessert.
Oh,
yeah, that was dessert.
You're killing me, man. Killing
And today we went back over and I tried a different place, and I had a hot corned beef sandwich with Russian dressing, slaw, and Swiss cheese.
It's a Reuben.
On grilled rye. No, it wasn't a Reuben because it wasn't a kraut.
Oh, okay. All right. Reuben minus kraut. Okay. All right. Yeah.
Was it that kind of sandwich that's like 4 inches thick?
Yeah, exactly. It was at a place called Herschel's East End.
Todd, how you been, my friend? It's been a while, man.
Oh, wow. How's it going, Steve?
Going good, man. Going good. You been checking out the Washington Journal?
Oh, I have been. Every time I hear something crazy, I think of you, and I know this is off topic, but, you know, there was a show, I believe it was on the 27th or the 28th, and it was so funny because it sounded like she was an old black woman to me. And they've deleted the whole episode. You can't even pull it up in the archives because she just went off. And it's insane, man. I don't know. People are living in different realities at this point.
Well, I've been meaning to tell you, Todd, I didn't know this, but Washington Journal, I mean, C-SPAN is a floor above Fox News. In the same building.
They're all over there in the same building. Everybody
is. I didn't know that, man.
Right.
I don't know if that makes them ready. It never used to be like that.
Well, remember they had a fire, and that's when a lot of people learned that, because there was a fire, and if they had water damage. Yep.
Now, they avoid Trump subjects like the plague. This morning, they talked about space exploration.
Right.
That was the topic.
Well, you know what? I wouldn't ever get a social this one to explain, but why it seems like maybe a third of the viewers, callers, swear that Washington Journal leans to the left. Only because they report, you know, talk about the news, talk about Trump. Like, you can't even talk about Trump, you know, but...
No, you can't.
It's just a mess. It's a mess.
It's a hot mess.
Yep, Steve, you have to see, like, in Chinatown where Bob is, I mean, it's wall-to-wall food.
Oh, yeah, by the way, last night dinner was Chinatown.
Nice.
A place called Dim Sum Garden. Chris and I ordered
pictures with serious food porn, Bob.
Yeah,
Chris and I
ordered like five different kinds of dumplings and an entree, and just, you know, did dinner at the Keller House, Helen Keller dinner.
It was so good. It was worth the frickin' jet lag.
Because Steve and Todd are both here today, I've got an online TV viewing tip for you two and for the rest of the Warren family.
Well, thank you, sir.
You know who Brian Lamb is. He, for a long time, he hosted the Q&A thing on C-SPAN.
Yep. Yeah.
Well, every Friday.
I came across an interview with an author from a couple of years ago. The name of the book, get this, Bob will love this, White Trash, the 400-year untold history of class in America. And I'm telling you, the woman's name is Nancy Eisenberg, and I'm going to get that book. It's like $8, a brand new copy in paperback. White Trash, the 400-year untold history of race, or excuse me, of class in America. And it just whetted my appetite to order that damn book, because it sums up quite succinctly where a lot of these Trump supporters have come from and why their wiring and their thinking is as it is. So check that out. It's on the Q&A, White Trash, just
for
Nancy Eisenberg. And a listening
I recognize your name. I don't know why I think I've got Penn Professor. I mean, I think that's out of University of Pennsylvania Press for some reason. But yeah, you know, all that stuff is archived. Their website is amazing. I mean, their website gets better every day because they archive almost everything. But I understand what you're talking about. Yeah, they don't eat. But if they will go to Reddick Terminal, they'd be better off. That's all.
I got a viewing tip for you guys as well. I don't know. Hey, Bob, I know you've been crazy busy, but have you and Agnes started watching the new season of Pose yet?
No, I was about to say I'm going to wait, and then we'll do the same thing we did last time. We're just going to binge it, because I can't stand to wait week to week. I just don't live in that world anymore.
I understand. So, well, this past Tuesday's episode was a punch in the gut, but it mirrored what's happening now in the trans, the black female trans women of color transgender community, and basically it's kind of mirrored what was happening out in the West Coast with back in the late 80s to the mid 90s with anybody remember the Grim Sleeper when all these black women were disappearing?
Lonnie Franklin.
Yeah.
Franklin.
Well, I ran across, I didn't even realize it, but there was an HBO documentary called Tales of the Grim Sleeper. And just so happens, I have HBO, but of course, you know, it's no longer available on HBO. But if you have Amazon Prime, it is on Amazon Prime. And I highly recommend, especially if you are watching Pose, to watch Tales of the Grim Sleeper, because it documents how these women were disposable. How this man, for 30 some odd years, basically was probably, he was only convicted, I believe, for killing 10 women, but he was probably responsible for killing the disappearance and murders of probably over 100 women.
Yeah, and society at large considers them throwaway people,
right,
that whose lives don't matter anyway.
Right, and just how they don't, this is how black women, black transgender women do not matter. And so watching this movie and watching this past Tuesday's episode of Pose, it brought up something in me, because it's just, when being a black woman, you know, because I actually got into an argument with a friend of mine who's a white guy, he's gay, and, you know, we both watched the show. And I couldn't watch it on Tuesday because, as you know, I go to bed a lot earlier than I used to because I get up and I work out, woo-woo-woo-woo-woo. So I usually don't watch shows until the next day. And so when I watched it on Wednesday morning, I texted him and I'm like, this really killed me. And he's like, well, I didn't think it was that sad. And I'm like, really? And he's like, well, you know, I didn't relate to it. And so we actually kind of got, it was, I don't know if it was a heated debate. And he's like, well, why are you so upset? I said, because it's a black woman. And he's like, well, well, you're not transgendered. I'm like, but I am a black woman. And I'm tired of our, you know, I said it was, it's still a relatable experience because we, our stories don't get told. He's like, but you're not transgender. I'm like, it doesn't matter if I'm transgender, motherfucker. I'm still a black woman. And she was a black woman. I said, our stories don't get told. And just because I'm not transgender, I'm still a woman of color. And when it's like, even here's the problem, and here's, this is what you call empathy. Even if I'm not a transgender woman, there's this thing called if I can see my struggle and somebody else's struggle, that's what you call empathy. When you can see somebody's struggle and realize that my struggle is, it might be a different struggle, but it's still a struggle. That's how people understand. That's, you know, that's why people, if people, that's how more people could get along and realize we all have struggles. My struggle may be different than your struggle, but it's still a struggle. And that's, I think, yeah, that's why people, that's, huh?
Who's making all that clank?
I don't know who's making the clanking. It's not me.
I think it was Rick.
He muted though.
Sorry about that. Billable stuff, guys. I forgot to.
No worries, brother.
Tracy, so, I mean, that's a.
Huh?
Yeah, it's a huge leap. That empathy, it's a gigantic leap for a lot of people.
You know, so it's like I think that's the problem with this country, is that I'm not transgender. No, but I am a human. I am a woman. I am black. I mean, he's like, well, there's not that many black people on the show anymore. Because he's like, well, such and such is Hispanic. Such and such is this. I'm like, yes, but there's still people of color. It's like, look, white guy. Seriously, does it really matter if they're not black, but they're still people of color? It's like,
Tracy, if you listen to the Washington Journal, it won't be a mystery. If you listen to how hateful people are now.
Oh, my God. It's off the hook, isn't it, Todd?
I remember.
It's off the hook, Steve.
I watched it one time. The day after they had the hearing about reparations, I think I called in to the show the next day. And I said, well, the word niggers was on the tip of their tongue. Well, these Negroes, these black folks, how dare they want reparations? They don't know how to manage their money now. They get their goddamn income tax checks, and they spend $1,000 on tennis shoes. Well, how the hell if they get reparations?
Yeah, where's Louis Gohmert to complain about the crab legs when you need him?
They couldn't even find reparations, man, if they looked it up in the goddamn dictionary.
Yeah, that's the thing. Now, how do you spell reparations? Is that R-E-P-A-I-R?
What you're describing, I think, is the two core beliefs and freedoms, so-called, of most people who call into that show. They believe fervently in the freedom to be irretrievably stupid, even though they don't know that they are. And the other big,
irretrievably stupid, I love that.
And the other big freedom that they'll die for is the freedom to be not to be concerned about anybody. That the axis of the universe runs through their goddamn navel, you know.
The access of the universe runs through their goddamn navel.
He's a wordsmith.
I don't think he brought a cowbell with him. I think he's missed that.
Wait. I don't.
Delivery bell. What the hell is he with a cowbell?
Well, that's true. You know, that would get a cowbell all by itself. But I do have other possibilities. Let's see. Okay, we got laughter.
Oh, man.
Yeah, let's see.
There's something.
Yeah, that's we got like
this,
chimes. Let's see. So that, you know, the applause there might work for a cowbell. What else do I have? I got a sad trombone.
Do
you have a rim shot?
As a matter of fact, yes. Oh, I'm sorry. That's the harp.
The rim shot.
Hey, Bob, I have a question for you. This is Chris. I have a question for you, Bob.
There you go.
In your discourse amongst, you know, all the people around you in West Virginia, whether through face-to-face, on the phone, in grocery store, or online in social media, have you ever been called a race traitor?
I have not. Mostly they just call me a goddamn liberal.
In my political
tree hugger,
I've called that, and I throw it back at him, and I say, "Hey, fuckface, look in the mirror, and what you're looking at is a species traitor."
Oh! Ooh, cold.
That's good.
Ow, burn.
That's probably one more syllable than they can comprehend, but, you know, you get the A for effort.
I like that. Species traitor.
Question for Bob. Now, I don't know the route you take, but, you know, going through Baltimore, we always take the tunnel, the McHenry Tunnel.
The Key Bridge is cool, too.
Because that traffic around D.C. and Baltimore in the summertime is horrendous. It's awful. And
it's brutal. Well, and to be fair, I was hitting it at 4 o'clock on a Wednesday.
Oh, god damn!
Well, you didn't stand a chance, man.
Oh no, but see, you got to understand there was like multi-layer fuckery that got me to that point.
Fuckery?
Yes. Because, so I mentioned it on the air, the last program before I said, oh, you know, I got a call from Enterprise. They said, well, they can't pick me up because they've got to deliver 100 cars to the Boy Scouts. So I said, well, that's cool. I'll be there. My wife will come over with me, and we'll be there first thing when you open, and we'll just do it that way. Okay. So I get there, and they say, oh, what are you doing here? We were going to upgrade you to a Chevy Impala. Yeah, like an Impala is an upgrade. We were going to upgrade you to a Chevy Impala, but we took it for an oil change, and it won't be ready until 10:30. I said, well, what else you got? I said, well, you can have that Nissan Sentra there.
So you went from a decent-sized car.
I was supposed to have something in the in the full-size class, which is like the Nissan Altima. And they were going to upgrade me to a Chevy Impala, which is supposedly a premium sedan in what universe, I don't know. And instead, I get downgraded into a Nissan Sentra.
Yeah.
Well, they downgraded your price, didn't they?
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, but the thing is, this is like the fourth time in a row that they've fucked up my rental. I made this reservation 3 weeks ago.
Excuse me, I guess you've never seen Seinfeld, right?
Well, yeah, I mean,
the world is full of incompetence, Bob. It'll drive you
fucking
nuts.
And so I had to turn around, because my plan was to get picked up, get the car, and go from there. So instead, drive it back to the house, Agnes and I load it, I leave, and that's why I wind up on I-695 at 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
Sorry to hear that.
Every time. Jan and I rented from Enterprise because, you know, we have older cars, so, and we go to Vegas, like, you know, every other month or so. We, you know, same thing, Jan, you know, reserved a car, we got full-size car because my mom was coming with us. Jan gets to Enterprise to pick up the car. And what do we get? Instead of whatever she was, like, I think it was supposed to be, whatever it was, it's a Mini Cooper.
No, okay, all right, you got me beat. But to be fair, this Nissan Sentra, you know, the seat goes back and forth, and the back goes up and back. I can't get my legs stretched out. It felt like a bar fight when I pulled into the hotel.
It seems like they go out of their way trying to think of ways to fuck you up, man.
Well, they do, and I'm trying to figure out why. It's nuts.
I get it.
Are they Trump passes, perchance, Bob?
Well, I mean, come on, it's West Virginia. What do you want, Rick?
Yeah, there you go.
they know they're the only game in town,
But I discovered another moment in stupidity when I crossed from West Virginia into Maryland. Now, you toddle along I-68, and there's a geologic formation called Sidling Hill. And it's this long ridge that goes from Pennsylvania through Maryland down into West Virginia. And there's a cut through it on I-68 that revealed this magnificent geologic formation called a syncline. Okay? It's literally where the rock gets folded in being pushed up, you know, during the formation of the mountain. Well, years and years and years ago, when they built the highway, that syncline was deemed to be so magnificent and such a magnificent opportunity to teach people about the way the Earth happened that they built an interpretive exhibition center and museum right there where you could go and stand and just look at it instead of kind of glancing at it as you drove by. And I'd stop there. We showed it to the kids, things like that. Well, I stopped, and it's the exhibition center is no longer there. It was closed. It's been closed. They took all the exhibits and all the artifacts and all of that stuff out and took it to a local nearby museum. And it is now a Maryland Welcome Center and Veterans Memorial.
Well, goddamn. Because next you're going to tell me Harper's Ferry's been closed.
Well, wait. And they did this all. The state of Maryland decided to close this thing for $110,000 a year. $110,000 a year.
They know the cost of everything and the value of nothing.
And the value of nothing, Scott.
Come on.
But, I mean, I drove on down the road going, son of a gun, you got to be kidding me. I mean, it was ridiculous.
Wait. That's all it costs, $110,000 to keep it open? A year.
And a state budget, that's like a nickel to you and I, you know?
Not a day.
Yeah.
A year.
And, right. And see, that's an opportunity, like, where your little kids come in there and they see. And so when some crazy religious fundamentalist says, you know, the Earth is only 7,000 years old, it's just slightly younger than the written recipe for bread, and the devil put the dinosaur bones in the dirt to confuse the unbelievers. And so, 7 days creation, if you've got that exhibit there, that kid is not, you know, the kid that sees that isn't having his mind poisoned. He's not being proselytized. It's just right there for her to figure out.
Fuck.
And so for $110,000, over $110,000 a year, they closed it.
Makes you want to pound your head off the wall, doesn't it?
And so, you know, the next exit, Jesus, you know, there's Christ. A sign that says Hancock County Museum. Sidling Hill exhibit.
I'm sorry.
No, okay. So, I mean, I feel a little vindicated here because that's what I was doing going down the road. How unutterably stupid is that? But then again, you got to remember that's the Republican end of Maryland.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. That, I can't around the Eastern Shore and all that. Yeah, you can't get no more redder.
And by the way, I noticed because I haven't been through there in a long time. It used
that
to be.
That western end kind of looks like a dick, if you ask me.
Well, a little bit, Joe, a little bit. It used to be that I would travel that, and it used to be U.S. 48, not I-68. But there was one year, for instance, we helped a young woman who had graduated from law school a couple of years ahead of me and a buddy of hers. She said, you know, if you'll help me move back to Annapolis, you drive the truck and unload it and everything, and I'll buy you a big crab dinner. Yeah, okay, cool. So, you know, it's very mountainous through there. And at one point in time, I kid you not, there was one mountain there, and its name was Negro Mountain.
Oh, God.
N-E-G-R-O. Well, I haven't driven that highway in quite some time. And I was like, okay, they had to have done something about this by now. And as best I can tell, it has been renamed, and I don't really think this is helpful. It has been renamed Big Savage Mountain.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
Yeah, that is one of those.
you know what you were saying about the rock formation. You know what else is pitiful, but I think you hit it not only on the science part, but you know it's nice to have an attraction where you can learn, and if you have kids or if you don't, because you need to stretch your legs. It's good to get out and walk every few hours. It just keeps you alert. You know, it's just that stupidity. It's just ridiculous. You know, like you said, 110,000.
Well, it's like Burns Lawler says in that song he sent me years and years and years ago called Alabama Jesus. There's a refrain in there that says, it's not the heat, it's the stupidity.
So you were talking about 301, like Anne Arundel, Maryland, that's the Eastern Shore. But, you know, a good beach is Lewes, Delaware. It's a state park. They have showers, but you can take a shower here if you have to, if you feel the need. And it's a nice beach. It's not rocky. Some of those beaches are, you know.
Yeah. Oh, cool.
If I'm hearing you right, Bob, they're trying to perpetuate the myth that dinosaurs and humans roam the earth. Maybe
maybe they're afraid that somebody might figure out that that isn't the case.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, but it's just embarrassing. Oh, let's see what else? Todd, I was going to ask you. So, Chris and I have been sitting here thinking about what we're going to do for dinner after this is all over. I'm basically at the corner of Arch and Broad,
mm-hmm.
in the convention center.
Mm-hmm.
Where would you go? I mean, I don't want any chains, tonight, you know, I'd actually like to sit down and eat, not just, you know, nacho and cheesesteak, because I still have to go to Jim's and Sonny's for cheesesteaks.
Oh, yeah. Jim's on South Street. Well, there's a couple of Jim's. One is on South Street.
Yeah, this is if you go if you keep going straight down Arch, it runs straight into it. You know, about a half mile down.
Right.
And then Sonny's from my hotel, I just walk to the next block, turn left on Market, and boom, there's Sonny's.
There's just so many options, and I'm glad you brought Chris up because I know you guys are going to gain weight, and there's just no way around it.
That's so much fun too.
Yeah, but we're walking it off.
All right, I can't, but you have to see, you know what, go over toward Old City, what they call Old City, you know, like Second and Chestnut.
Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of down there already.
Right, I know you are, but it's like there's some great restaurants hidden right there. I mean, I wasn't exaggerating about the food, I don't think, because you get New York, what people think hot cuisine is in New York, but you don't have to pay New York money. Seriously, you got to see the Second National Bank. Over there on that side of town. I don't know it's on your pop-out map if you haven't worn it out yet.
I've been consulting mine frequently.
Just remember, Bob, it's always Sonny's in Philadelphia.
Man, it wasn't last night. There were a couple of lightning shots I thought were right on top of the building. I mean, boomers. They shut down every flight out of Philadelphia last night.
Okay, listen, now, it's too far to walk, but it's just a short subway ride. Over at Edward 30th Street Station, there's a place called Ray. Now, you might want to Google it to make sure it's still open, but they have excellent, excellent food. And, of course, Lowe's Hotel, my God, if you want a really good cocktail and good food, you can't go wrong at the Lowe's.
Oh, that's the other thing. You know, we're a block down from City Hall, so I think we're going to go looking for that bar you mentioned.
I'm glad you brought that up. And you know where Macy's is. Macy's right at the corner of Broad, Broad and Market, on the south side of Broad and Market, near you. Right. So you walk down to Macy's. It looks like a little alley. And then you make a left and then a right, and you're there. Drury Street. And it's on your little pop-out map. But, you have to go there. And, honestly, their food is okay. I mean, their food's not terrible. Most of the restaurants are pretty good, I have to say. You know, they change names all the time, but a few people own most of those restaurants, the good ones. You know, don't get me started on this, man. You see why I'm a food snob? You see now?
Todd, we're trying to get you started.
I'm serious, man. I mean, this is like what we do. Happy hour every day downtown. I mean, that's what I did for years. It's just people beg you to come in there and drink and eat good food. I mean, they look at you sideways if you don't. You know, come on. It's just the thing to do. But, yeah, it's McGillin's is the old place. remember, that's been there since like 1860 or something like that. And if you really get adventurous, you go where the old original bookbinders used to be over there, like 15th.
Yeah, it's called the old bar now.
It's what?
Where bookbinders used to be is called the old bar, O-L-D-E.
The old bar, right. So the place called, McGlinchey's is the place near City Hall. That's the bar, but, I mean, McGillan. McGlinchey's is over there, like, one block from where bookbinders used to be. And it's got to still be there. It's an institution. And you can still smoke cigarettes in there. I pulled it up online, but I think it's still open.
Now, is that McGlinchey's we're talking about now?
That's McGlinchey's we're talking about. It's around in the 15th and Spruce area. And that's walkable. See, in Center City, you see the blocks are short, Chris and Bob. And
oh, yeah. No, it's eminently walkable.
And can't you feel the spirit when you see down where you are? My God.
Oh, no, it was crawling. When I got in here Wednesday evening, it was crawling all over me. I mean, when I told the clerk, I said, first thing I got to do is see Mr. Franklin's grave. And he said, oh, that's good for you. That's right around the corner. And that was the first thing I did was go pay my respects and put my penny on his tomb.
Bob, you're only 2 hours from Annapolis. Keep that in mind, too.
Bob?
Yes?
If you're in Philadelphia as a true blue liberal, no visit to Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love, is complete without visiting the grave of Frank Rizzo, unzipping, and taking a nice healthy leak. That son of a bitch.
Well, wait a minute.
Thank you. That son of a bitch.
Bob, have you made it to your ancestral gardens?
No, that's coming up. Agnes wasn't able to make the trip, but I've got to go and take pictures for her and everything.
Okay.
That's going to be a big part of it.
What are those called again?
Bartram's Gardens.
Bartram's Gardens.
And, you know, I wasn't even thinking about it. I actually had a Philly connection that I hadn't even pondered. You know, I started being Bob when I was early in radio. I had a program director who said, no, you're going to be Bob, just as a short form of my first name. One of my Philly connections is I was actually named after a famous Philadelphian of the day.
Robert who?
No, Robin Roberts.
Huh. Nice.
Robin Roberts.
Yeah, the Phillies pitcher.
No, sir.
Yeah. That's wow. That's where my dad came up with my name.
Huh. And you can always visit the grave of Edgar Allan Poe too if you come back through Crabtown. Just leave him a pint of cognac. He likes that.
You know it's possible that they've discovered.
And he has a house in Philly too.
He may have died of rabies.
Really? What, did he get bit by one of his bats?
Quote the raven, have some more.
Or his crows?
Yeah, he has a house in a museum. It's part of the United States Park Service. It's a museum because he had a house in Philadelphia and Baltimore. And it's up on 7th Street near 7th and Spring Garden. And it's free if you want to go there. Most of the stuff is free. That's the thing. You have to go back. You really have to. You have to, if Agnes is up to it, you really...
No, I've got to bring her back here. You know, except for the fact that they hang a $200 deposit on you to stay in a hotel room here, it ain't bad.
Right. There's that.
Yeah, so...
It's a hotel thing, but yeah. I hope you hear traders.
Speaking of the deposit, my challenge is still on the board. $300. Come on, guys.
And there's 250 of it yet to be met. Thank you, Chris. Thank you.
It's coming, Chris.
Yeah, and I'll bring her back here, especially after I've seen Bart. You know, and dig this, another piece of her family history. One of her ancestors was a loyalist, and one of the things that Philly doesn't like to talk about is that in the aftermath of the Revolution, after we won, people in Philly went on a murdering spree against people who were loyalists. And somebody walked into one of Agnes's ancestors' home with a club and just beat her to death.
A club?
Yeah.
That's so primitive.
Bludgeoned her to death, like with an axe handle.
Oh,
and that happened all over this city, and the loyalists mostly were driven north, and many of them settled in Nova Scotia and became Canadians. They were persecuted right out of the young United States of America. Guys, keep the conversation going. I'll be right back, okay? Y'all are going to keep the conversation going, aren't you?
I've got a very rare for me, because I normally do TV viewing tips. I've got a listening tip. It's a podcast that I got turned on to a couple of weeks ago. It's from the BBC World Service, so you know it's well produced. And it's called 13 Minutes from the Moon. And there have been 9 episodes so far. You can find it like on Apple Podcasts and all kinds, wherever you find a podcast. It is outstanding. It is excellent. It is exquisite in its detail. And I know that there is some credence to the notion that rather than to have spent $24 billion to send some clown to the moon, when there was bullshit here on Earth that needed handling, I get that. I've known that all my life. But when you think the anniversary is coming up a week from tomorrow of the landing and first persons on the moon, it is nothing to be scoffed at in the sense of its the scope and the effort and the technology and the science and the intelligence and the mathematics and the engineering that had to all come together to make that happen and to get them there, to get them back. I mean, as a kid, you know, a 15-year-old in 1969,
oh my
it blew
God.
Me away.
Yeah.
But hearing about it now on this podcast, 13 Minutes from the Moon, I can't recommend it highly enough.
We have more technology in our cell phones.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's amazing.
How the cell phone from space.
And how much they did with it, you know? Actually, I remember the anniversary of the fake moon landing. I attended the...
Wait.
Where's my tinfoil hat, damn it?
Yeah. I remember they had a parade for the astronauts in Chicago. That's where I lived at the time. My dad took me downtown with him to his workplace at the Wrigley Building, and they had a parade. I remember it. It's one of my earlier memories. I was only 7. I wasn't that young, but... That was quite a feat, you know. It took a lot of wizardry on the Hollywood sound stages for them to engineer all the photographs and so forth,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, right.
Now, Rick, I'm going to send somebody over there if you don't cut it out.
Buzz Aldrin punched somebody out. It's on YouTube for claiming that the moon landing was fake.
If you want to impress your friends, some years ago, I figured this out. They brought back in total from all the Apollo missions 842 pounds of moon rocks and dirt.
Okay.
And they spent about $25.4 billion for the Apollo program. So of those 842 pounds of moon rocks and dirt, it worked out to 30,166,270 and 78 cents a pound.
Wow!
So that's
they should be selling that right now because it used to be rare, but now everybody's on the moon. China, India, you know.
Oh yeah, mm-hmm.
Yeah. But we were the first ones to leave space garbage up there.
Yeah, we sure as hell were, weren't we?
We're number one. We're number one. Yeah.
Well, there's dead cotton plants up there now. Chinese cotton plants.
And Todd, I hear they're looking for minerals and, you know, valuable gems.
Oh, sure. Yeah, I saw that.
They're mining for that, you know.
I bet they are. You know, and we don't hear it. Like, you have to kind of, it seems to me we have to dig a little bit to see these what China's doing on the moon. But when you start digging, it's like, wow, why haven't we been doing that? We're getting left behind, you know.
And I want to give you a little moon landing story. This is Roger.
Our
Hey, Roger.
Roger.
Back in 1969, I was on a Sierra Club trip. I was on the staff. We were up in the backcountry of Yosemite. And in the very early morning, about 5 o'clock in the morning, a tree fell over and kind of crunched a girl in a sleeping bag with her grandmother. And rode out, got the, I rode to the snow shelter to try and get on the radio. And the packer went on down to the valley and got the helicopter to come in and pick her up and take her out. And she survived and, you know, no biggie. But anyhow, the next day, the packer comes back up and we're sitting around the campfire. And he's telling us about going into the bar down in Yosemite Valley and watching the moon landing on TV. And so I got to hear about the moon landing by a guy that had ridden a horse for 10 hours to come back and tell us about the moon landing as I'm sitting in the backcountry of Yosemite.
Wow, that's cool. That's cool. Yeah, hey, Scott, yeah, I wanted to piggyback on what you said. BBC does good stuff. I don't know if anybody listens to Hard Talk. That's another podcast that they do, and that's pretty good. They don't pull any punches, those people, the moderators, and they bring all sorts of folks, far left, far right, center left, center right. They do a good job.
Well, this thing could be podcast of the year. I mean, the production values and the research of this thing are just top-notch. It blew me away. It absolutely blew me away. And the weird thing is, I remember it, and everybody oohed and aahed. I've still got newspapers from that whole flight stuck away in a closet somewhere. But it was almost unbelievable. Because I remember going outside and looking up at the moon while they were walking around up there, and I just couldn't get my head around the fact that this was occurring. And you've heard it said a zillion times in talking about an earthly problem. People will say, well, you know, I don't get it. They can put a man on the moon, but why can't they fix thus and so? We need to apply some of that moonshot technology and brain power to addressing a lot of earthly issues at long last, up to and including especially climate change, because that will kill us. That will be the end of it. You know?
Well, what you're talking about is 16% of GDP. That's what you're talking about, 16% of GDP. That was what was dedicated to get us to the moon, and we need a moonshot to fix the climate. But it's
yeah.
not just us, it's global, right?
Yeah. And it, you know, hey, we, yeah, go ahead.
I just wanted to say, you know, and someone, I think it was Steve intimated this. I mean, we all understand that the primitive computers that they were using. But and when you think about that, there were so many things that should have gone wrong, not could have, but should have gone wrong, that didn't. It's just amazing, like you're saying, if we work that hard now on this most pressing issue, we could figure out something, but we're just not working hard enough.
Yeah. Well, first you've got to want to make a solution, and we cannot, for some reason, get people's head and focus on the present danger. I mean, life would have gone on had we not gone to the moon, okay? But life will not go on as we know it anyway if we allow the buildup of carbon and methane and all this nasty shit that we've been pumping into our own ecosystem for years. If we don't address it, and the clock is ticking, man, you know?
We're fouling our own nest. I mean, even Punky Scott knew not to foul his nest. Right?
Oh, yeah. He'd come out and
I mean, he was a smart bird, man.
He would sit on the edge of the top of the cage, and I had newspaper on the little shelf in front of it. And I'd change the paper every day, and he'd go back in, you know, happy little bird. And if a bird.
Speaking of Punky, I heard an episode where there was an Amazon delivery of his bird food that was being broadcast while you were on the phone with Bob. And he was just so excited. Do you remember that episode?
Yeah, I do.
I remember that too, yeah. I've got happy news. Chris's challenge just dropped by another $100. Thank you very kindly.
Excellent.
And so that leaves us at, at 150 to go.
Real quick, when you're through, or I can do it real quick now, 30 seconds. I must tell you about the time I was 3 feet away from Neil Armstrong.
Oh.
All right. I was coming back. I was living in D.C. at the time, still, late 70s, and went out to visit a friend in Kansas City, where I later moved. And on the flight back, it was Delta. And instead of stopping in Atlanta, there was one stopover between Kansas City and D.C. in Cincinnati, as I recall. And we didn't have to change planes or anything. But I got up just to kind of stretch my my legs. And I turn around out in the aisle to reach up to the bin to grab my goodies. And I look back, and about two seats back was Neil Armstrong. He apparently, this was when he was teaching at a university in Ohio. And I knew from reading stories that he did not like people calling attention to him. Not asking for autographs, not going ooh and ah or any of that. So I got, we made eye contact, and I smiled and gave him a head nod, and he gave me a little head nod back, and that was enough. You know, 3 or 4 feet away from what I consider to be greatness. Because, you know, that son of a bitch, actually, when they got on the moon, they had 18 seconds worth of fuel left. That's incredible.
It's called running on empty.
That's called nerves of steel.
Oh yeah.
And hey, I need to jump in here for a minute because I just saw that Roger's in the group, and I wanted to thank Roger ever so much for the care package. I picked it up and haven't had a chance to. Well, yeah, we did. Agnes and I broke right into the tuna, and it was just for anybody who wants to know. It was everything Roger described it was. It was freaking delicious. I mean, just beautiful in that sauce. Magnificent. And when I get home... I'm here.
Yeah, I'm here. I'm standing in the garage, so if it's a little echoey, I'm sorry. But I'm hoping in the next couple of weeks to make 96 more jars of it.
Holy tuna. I was going to say holy mackerel, but no, holy tuna.
Well, I'm just thinking your response. I'm going to come into the house so I'm not so echoey. I'm waiting for your response on the jar that was labeled.
Yes. It was met with much delight. Absolutely.
Well, and I hope you really like the blackberry, pitchberry, and
now, see, I extracted a promise before I left that no one would get into that until I could get home and get us some good quality ice cream to put the syrups on.
Well, make yourself some good sourdough waffles or pancakes.
Ooh, oh, well, see, that's the other thing. The griddle came in, the propane griddle. And so when I get home, I'm going to make my sourdough starter. That'll take about a week or so to really get it up and going respectably. And make some sourdough pancake batter and do those on the griddle and put the syrup on those with some nice butter.
Well, I mean, I like them on the griddle bread, but they're also dynamite on the ice cream. No doubt about it. And add a little chocolate syrup to it, too.
Oh, now it's just getting ugly.
Well, I'm sorry, Bob. It's what I do.
No, it's magic. It is pure magic, Roger. I mean, God almighty. I mean, I think I saw tears come into Agnes's eyes when she got into the tuna.
Well, I'm giving a workshop. There's a Mother Earth News Fair, and I think it's Albany. Might be Salem, but somewhere in Oregon. Later this month, it's on a Sunday, August something, on a canning of seafood, and I'm giving a workshop on how to can seafood. So it can be done, but you just need to do it right so you don't kill yourself.
And you know what? As I walked into Reading Terminal Market, one of the other, we talked about all the yummy restaurants in there. There are fantastic fishmongers in there. I mean, fresh, beautiful oysters, clams, lobster tails.
Still swimming in the case.
Yeah, the nice. Lobster's still swimming in the tank. Big, beautiful, you'd probably have to take out a boat loan to buy it, but just huge, fresh tuna loins. Oh, oh.
See, Bob, that's one of the things about Reading Terminal is that it not only is it good for tourists, but that's where the locals go, too. And, you know, there's a little beer garden in there. I mean, not that you're going to drink any beer, I'm just saying.
Wait, I didn't see the beer garden. Where was the beer garden?
It's hidden in the back. It's hidden
We're
in the
going
back.
Back.
Oh, Chris, it's hidden in the back. But, I mean, you got to save your belly. Like, I'm telling, man, you got to have a draft at McGillin's just because it's that old. I mean, and the place stayed running. I think it was a cop bar because it's right near City Hall. And it's hidden. When you see it, you're going to be like, damn, this place is old. The street is only as wide as a carriage. I mean, literally. That's how wide the street is. And then you got to walk over to McGlinchey's, so you have to, because you can smoke it there. You know, and it's cheap. It's, they call it a dive bar, but it's just, you know, it's like a bar is supposed to be. Nothing fancy, big, you know, they have a hot
dog. Sounds great.
Cool table upstairs.
No ferns.
You guys got to do it. So, I don't know. I sent a message. I can say this. I would not go to City Tavern to eat, because that's a tourist trap. But, you know, most of the restaurants are pretty good.
Where would you not go?
City Tavern.
Oh, okay,
it's
yeah.
Right there. Yeah, don't bother going.
We
there.
Won't.
It's a nice place to look at. Yeah, just don't do it. It's not worth
now,
it.
Todd, can you still get the Utz potato chips cooked from the Amish lady right on the spot? I mean, that's like crack, man. Do you remember those days?
I do. If they will deliver Utz to your house in a tin can.
Yeah.
I mean, you can go there. Yeah. Yep. So you. Yep. Wow, I can't believe you remember that. Yeah.
Every now and then, I go on the Utz website and order a 3-pound box of those bad boys. And they're pricey as hell, but damn it. I have always loved those Utz chips. And I don't think you can get them west of, you know, just outside of the Mid-Atlantic. You can't get them. They got to send
them to you. We can get them in West Virginia. It's one of the few things we can.
They just made it south into Georgia within the last 3 years. I used to have to mail order the.
Yeah.
And they've got a crab boil flavor that I just love. That love the crab boil chips. Oh yeah, yeah.
I've been meaning to order one of those little samplers that's got like 10 different varieties, little bags of two or three of each one, because that crab boil flavor intrigues me.
Oh, it's a good seasoning. It's like having. The wonderful essence of Old Bay in a crunchy form.
See, Bob, you read my mind. You know what? That's one thing that's nice when you go through Baltimore. That's where McCormick is located. And you can smell, depending on what they're making that day, you can smell the spice.
Man.
About to go through the tunnel.
Used to be the Old Bay seasoning company. Then McCormick's bought it out.
Hey, and Steve, pickle guy
yes,
that you are,
yes, sir.
I am going to go back into Reading Terminal. There's an Amish stand in there where they are. I mean, there's like 8 different varieties of pickles in barrels. They got hot ones. They got garlic ones.
They got
half sours.
Stop.
Slices, spears.
Oh man!
All right, beautiful.
I'm going to see if they'll just straight up sell me some pickle juice so I can bring it back for, you know, picklebacks.
Picklebacks. Oh, boy. Those are good.
Picklebacks. Picklebacks.
Yeah. Chris, did you have any picklebacks?
Yes, at the first Malloy Fest.
Okay.
Yeah,
those
me
are
too.
Wonderful.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I actually tried my hand recently at canning. A couple of different types of jam. Star had like a ton of peaches that grew on just one tree. And so we made like some, you know, peach jam. It turned out pretty good, but we didn't have enough like pectin. So it was more like peach sauce as far as the consistency, as opposed to peach jam. And then our apple tree, all of a sudden we got like 30 pounds of apples off of this little tree. And so we made apple butter, and that is really good. The consistency, I mean, it's just like you get it like at a restaurant, you know, just really nice. Dark and thick and all, and it's just beautiful. So I gave one of those away to my boss, my new boss, and so I'm sure Star's going to give some away to neighbors and stuff. But yeah, that goes good on ice cream or
you all are killing me today. Just really taking me back, man.
Yeah, French toast. Put it on French toast, pancakes.
I am a master food and anybody who's doing home preservation, I really want to suggest you get with the National Center for Home Preservation or University of Oregon or the University of Georgia and go for their tested recipes. In the Facebook number, if you put it on the horn, I'll probably see it. And I respond a whole lot, and I can dig out the SP50, I don't know what SP stands for, but anyhow, it's SP50, and then there's a dash, and then there's numbers, and it's all available online, and I can key you over to these tested recipes. If you do it according to the recipes, it's absolutely safe. Maybe one of these days I'll put a link to download the app that can be on your smartphone that walks you through things and all the rest of that kind of stuff. And I'm really happy to do it, but I really want people to be safe because particularly with low acid stuff, i.e. vegetables and meat, you can't taste it. You can't smell it. You don't even know it's there. And botulism
and
is
then you're dead.
A deadly son of a bitch. And you don't want to go there. But there
are
tons of recipes that are good and safe, and hot water bath, steam bathing, you know, steam cleaning, whatever. But I really encourage people to be safe.
Oh, yeah. Roger, I made sure I put them in a good steam bath for like, you know, 20 minutes or 30 minutes, you know. And I made sure that I boiled the lids, too, before you put them on. You know, to make sure that it's nice and secure. And, you know, I think that, you know, if you open up a can and it doesn't have the vacuum sound, then depending on how old the canned goods are, you may just want to throw them away, you know?
Yeah, throw it away. It's not worth it.
That vacuum number is not your go-to because botulism grows in an anaerobic environment. Environment, i.e. no oxygen.
Yeah.
So, Roger, you could just be preserving the botulism.
Scott, we're all screwed. Is that it, Roger?
No, you're not all screwed. That's not it. I mean, years ago, we canned tomatoes by what you call an open boiled up the tomato. Put them in the jar, put a lid on it, and screw the lid down and put it on the shelf. And it was fantastic. But the entire 4.6, and 4.6 is when botulism can grow. So you could home can tomatoes with your grandmother's recipe, and she lived to be 95. And you could do it 1 year, and all of a sudden at 40, you're going to be gone. Just because of the way tomatoes have changed and when you pick them, and early tomatoes are higher in acid than late tomatoes. And there's just a whole lot of stuff that I'm not trying to not do it. If there's just a safe way to do it, there's a risky way
to do it. Yeah. It's one of those things where, where attention to detail and patience and, you know, being meticulous pays off.
Oh, yeah.
I think there are some good videos from Oregon. Is it Oregon Health Sciences or something on the web about canning. There was one lady in particular who I watched her video to kind of get an idea as to how to do it. So, yeah, I mean, so, you know, there's lots of resources out there.
Okay. Rick, in this sense, if it came from OSU, go for it.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I think
Oregon it's OSU. State yeah. University. Yeah. And they also have a hotline, by the way, you can call on you can look at it on the web. And if you look for the OSU hotline, I was one of the people answering the phone last year, and somebody thought they were calling from Ohio because it was Ohio State University. But they don't care. Anywhere in the world, you call that number and you ask a question, you will get a knowledgeable answer, or you will be told, sorry, we're going to have to give your question to our Ask an Expert, and they will get back to you.
Okay, that's, so, good. That's good to know.
But OSU has a hotline, and they've started up, and they'll be running through October.
Okay.
I don't like hotline, but anyhow, just keep yourself safe. But my God, you got to spend some money for jars and lids and that kind of crap to start with. But once you... all you got to do is buy a new little flat lid, and you can reuse your rings, you reuse your jars, save up your good tasting stuff from your garden or the cheap farmer's market or whatever. And
yeah, it's pretty fun.
Yeah, it's fun, and you get good food. And like Bob was talking about, the tuna I made last year, you can can tuna and put any flavoring in it you want.
Mm.
I mean, you can make jalapeno tuna. You can make plain tuna, whatever you want. You can make garlic tuna.
Bob, I think Steve wants to jump in.
Jump in, Steve.
Yeah, go, Steve.
Guess he didn't want to jump in that bad.
Silence is a radio killer.
Well, he also, you know, when you're on a mobile device, sometimes unmuting Skype is a bit of a booger.
Yeah, I wouldn't know how to do it on a mobile.
It's not easy. Bob.
I can mute people, but I can't unmute them.
Hey, Bob, can I jump into one thing you said about that museum you were talking about with the dinosaurs and the humans living together in harmony and all that crap? Yeah, I just wanted to say I'm looking forward to the day that the Supreme Court renders carbon dating unconstitutional.
Well, hell, you know, Chris, I used to ride my dinosaur to law school in the day, you know, so, you know, we've coexisted with dinosaurs for thousands of years, millions of years even.
Did he say yip 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 yip? Is that what he said?
Yeah. Oh, jeez. Exactly. Yeah. Oh boy.
Can you hear me now?
Oh, yeah, good, Steve.
Yeah, go ahead, Steve.
No, I have two mutes. I have two mute buttons that I forget about, and there's one actually on the headset, and there's one on the Skype. No, I was just saying, I just, you know, and again, maybe I'm being the skunk at the picnic. I just couldn't hear what Roger said because people just keep talking. So I've got not much to say. I will say this: did anyone see the breaking news about Acosta today? Not that he resigned.
Yes. Yes, I did, Steve.
The witness tampering?
Saw it, Steve.
I didn't catch that.
Yeah. There was an article in the Times that he was witness tampering, and they said, I didn't get to read the whole article, but there were $350,000 in two different payments that went to two people. So, I don't know about anybody else. I've lost the capacity to be surprised.
Is this related to the Epstein case, Steve?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. And that was breaking news today. I've got the story in front of me right here. Where'd it go?
Epstein paid $350,000 to potential witnesses. Prosecutors say, Jesus.
Yeah. Right.
And the maggots, you know, I saw a it was interesting. I saw a chimpanzee out of its her natural habitat today. She was in my neighborhood. I didn't get a chance to take a picture. I was curious to see, you know, if she was started picking things up off the ground to eat, or I don't know.
Was she throwing poop by chance, Steve?
Yeah,
she had a maggot hat on.
Was she picking was she picking her teeth with her toenail clippings?
I was on to the onto the escalator up to the subway station, so I couldn't see her, but I saw the Trump 2020 shirt. And what I did find interesting is it did not say Trump Pence. But no, I don't know. She was probably trying to figure out whether the signal was walk or don't walk, because there's no words on the ones in New York. It has the red or the white white person. So she probably couldn't quite figure out when it was okay for her to walk. But you know, I continue to just be amazed at. Well, I don't know what it is. I'm going through an issue with my mom because my mom is a Trumpanzee. And I've noticed something about my mom. You know, all I can say is this is not the woman who raised me. I don't know at what point she became this hateful, just mean individual. But, you know, I even though my mom and my dad haven't been married for almost 45 years, I found out my uncle today. My uncle's has had a series of strokes since the beginning of the year. He's been suffering seizures. And I saw my cousin on Facebook, and I asked her, you know, what's going on? And they basically said they've exhausted the medication. They can't give him any more medication. He's very weak. And, you know, I just told my mom just to say, hey, Mom, I was talking with Katie, it's my cousin, on Facebook, and here's what she told me. And my mom's reaction was, why the hell are they putting that goddamn shit on Facebook? Why don't they just pick up the phone? And I said, Mom, she sent the message to me. And then she says to me, well, then why are you talking to me about it? And then she says, well, they didn't care about when her mom died. And I thought, where did this bitterness come from? And I don't know.
It's like she's lost a piece of her humanity, Steve.
I don't
even sorry to hear about that.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, I'm not perfect. I've done my share of yelling and insulting and being a fuckwad.
Telling you, Steve, when they are operating in the mindset of belief that the axis of the whole universe goes straight through their navel. You've lost them for all intents and purposes.
Yeah.
They can't see beyond their own misery, and they don't even realize they're miserable.
You know, it's interesting you say that, because I've had this conversation with people that – and my mom seems to be she can't see beyond her own nose, and I can't tell you how many times you've had conversations where somebody would do something or react in a certain way, and she would say, I would never do such a thing, and I tried to say to her, yes, but – they're not you. So everyone reacts in a different way, and it's just this weird inability to, you know, see shit from another perspective. I don't get it.
Well, it's a total lack of empathy and a heightening of apathy. And if she's a MAGA, then I mean, by virtue of the fact that Trump occupies the Oval Office, in their minds, he must be doing something right, because not anybody can just walk in and take the job. And there, he's modeling the behavior. It's like a dress pattern where you lay it out on the flat surface and pin the fabric to it, and you cut around the lines. And if you do it right and sew it correctly, you've got a duplicate of the dress on the cover of the pattern envelope. Not that I'm a seamstress or anything, but no, my mom but was.
It's all perpetuated by Fox News and hate radio as well.
Yeah.
I'm sure that plays an integral part of it.
And in their mind, there is no. They have blinders on, physical, mental, spiritual even, where there is no other way but the way they think, and you can confront them with all manner of verifiable evidence, and they'll have none of it. It's a petri dish of madness.
It's interesting you say that, because at one point she asked me, she says, so why don't you like our president? And I was like, no, first of all, he's not mine. But anyway, and I gave this litany of reasons, and it was just like, so? And then I finally said to her, and I said, you know what, Mom? When I heard him saying the grabbing her by the you-know-what stuff, my mom worked – she was in corporate life for a number of years as a corporate secretary, and I can promise you she got – whether she got assaulted like that, I don't know. But I guarantee you people made comments to her, and my mom is very good looking. She's very tall, thin, and beautiful. And I guarantee – and when I heard that him say those things, I thought, how could I vote for a person who – would have done those things to my mother had she worked for him.
Yeah.
And it just didn't matter.
Steve, you know, you hit something that's really crucial. If you notice, a lot of these maggots, for some odd reason, it's not that odd, maybe, they say, my president, he's my president. You see, they're living vicariously through him. And so when he says something evil, just like, you know what they would say, well, when he's talking about grabbing women by the, you know what, they say, why are you being so picky? Whereas if it was someone else, they'd be like, oh, you know, charge him for rape. But you see, they're living through him. So when they feel like he's being hurt, they feel hurt.
Could you imagine if Obama would have said something like that?
Well, God. Listen, getting
just wrap your head around that.
Getting
well,
back
first,
to that
first
Q&A
of all, first
video
of all, you have to be
on, on C-SPAN. If you watch that Q&A thing C-SPAN! With Nancy Eisenberg, the author of White Trash, the 400-year untold history of class in America, the way that she describes it, the ultra rich and the powerful in this country don't even like the people who flock to them. They are throwaway people, just as the people on the left, in the middle, and the far left are throwaway people. I'm going to order that book.
Scott, the thing that makes it so difficult to imagine Obama saying anything like that is, A, he's not that kind of human being, but B, you have to imagine it in Obama's voice. So you have to be able to hear in your head, try this, see if you can. I moved on her like a bitch. See, no. When you're a celebrity, you can do that kind of thing. You can do anything. Just kiss them. See, it doesn't work. No.
Well, it's incongruent because his very nature precludes that kind of speaking and that kind of behavior.
Right, exactly.
Whereas
I'm sorry, Scott. I do have to interrupt because we have to get out of here. I have to tear down and shut down and get out here in fairly short order, or else I get to sleep here.
I understand, Bob. It was good reconnecting with you, friend.
Well, Steve, thank you so much, and I'm so very glad that we could do this evening. Because, you know, I miss the interaction and I miss the community when I'm doing something like this. And some of this is, it can be kind of transactional. So I appreciate everybody jumping in for the conversation. It's great to it's great to have Chris here hanging out and being part of something that she often can't.
It was great being live for a change.
Yeah, instead of. Podcasted and 6 hours in the future. And I guess we'll wrap up, like I said, half of Chris's $300 Let's Clear the Decks challenge got made. If anybody wants to help out over the week, over the course of the weekend, that's great. I'll be home as quickly as I possibly can. I'm not. There are no guarantees for when that is, but yeah.
And Bob, that challenge is held over until Monday.
Okay,
so come
good
on,
deal.
Guys.
Monday, Tuesday, whenever I get back. Right. Mm-hmm. So, thank you, Chris. Thank you again, and thank you all for being part of this community. Thank you all for sharing in this conversation in whatever way you do. Thank you to Sparky and Steve in the chat rooms. Thank you, Sparky, for moderating the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, head on .live. Thank you to all of you who keep the program going. Thank you to John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest-working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. 20 years. This is our 20th anniversary at the forefront of the struggle for environmental justice and human rights in Appalachia. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Have a great weekend, everybody. Later, y'all.